The backups. Let's get in the backups. I think the starting five, when Austin Jackson comes back, I think you're probably like everybody else and you're good there. Larry Borum looks like he played a lot of football. He's going to be here. But after that, with Meyer and Eichenberg both hurt, who else you feel good about as a backup offensive lineman?
Well, I know Brunskill hasn't been great to this stage, but I think the time on task in the system will be useful. And I think if you had your starters in the lineup and then Brunskill had to step in to any of the interior trio spots amongst the starters and not playing with the rest of a backup offensive line, in which 60% of it in the preseason wasn't playing as the second string because either Borum was up with the ones, or as you mentioned, probably two of your top eight and two of your top three or four backups have not been participating with Eichenberg and Meyer, I think Brunskill would be fine. So I think that gives you a swing tackle in Borum. It gives you an interior flex guy in Brunskill that if he's playing with starters, I think you can get by with and feel okay. And I thought Keon Smith really saved himself there with that last preseason game, because I thought he had a pretty rough summer, but once they kind of just let him take those tackle reps in that last preseason game against Jacksonville, I thought that was his best showing. And if he's your fourth offensive tackle, I think you let him stay at tackle. I know they've been trying to push the position flex thing with him. I think you could say, okay, we're pretty invested here. Looks like he's maybe getting his footing. Let's not move him around a bunch and interrupt whatever progress he's making back from his injury.
So you still believe, getting back to what everybody's talking and writing about here in town, they still pick up a lineman or two? Would you be surprised, or trade for one today?
I'd kind of be surprised, just because you have this scarcity of it that exists across the entirety of the league.
Okay.
And, you know, the ones that are available, there's red tape in some way, shape, or form. And right. The ones that aren't available are not available for reasons, because the ones everybody wants to keep. So the mystery here is what the return timeline looks like for Meyer and Eichenberg. Because if one of those guys can avoid going on a reserve list at the start of the season, I think you're probably going to look at what you have and then cross-reference with what else is out there. And unless you're going to pay it like a really big premium to go get somebody, I think you'd probably be better off rolling with what you have instead of overpaying. But we don't know what those guys' return to timeline looks like. So that's, I think, what makes it hard. But I do see a realm of possibility where they keep eight, and it's the eight that we just talked about.
All right, so one running back for sure. Now, all of a sudden, that's just because the injury bug. They're going to add a running back from somewhere, correct?
Yeah, they have to. With Jalen Wright, Mike McDaniel yesterday making it sound like his return for week one is unrealistic. Devon Achane sounds like he's on a good recovery path, but, I mean, you can't dress two running backs on game day. So whether that's one of these guys that they cut in Boone and Shamklin coming back on the practice squad, I would expect that they add somebody to the 53, though, and it's going to be somebody from external. And the good news with that is I think that can, unlike the offensive line, I think you can have some pretty reasonable options for a third or fourth running back there.
We found out we're losing one of our best players last year, and Jason Sanders is going to be out a while. There's some veterans out there. What's the drop off, and what do you expect? Are you worried about that, or can you get by with one of these vets that's been around the league for a while?
I think you can get by with one of these vets that's been around for however long it is. If he ends up going on IR with a designation of return, and maybe misses the first 4 weeks, I think where you'll feel it is potentially on the kickoffs, and I think that's why it was meaningful that we saw Jake Bailey take some kickoff work with these new kickoff rules, just because your consistency with placement and putting the ball down there off the tee is really an important piece of the puzzle now. So that's where I get a little leery. And then I think the kicks from distance, where Jason really refound that element of his game after it was a struggle for a while. Anything inside of 40, you know, I think you're in a good position to get by, but those 45 pluses, those 50 pluses, I think that's where whoever you go out and get versus what Jason was for you last year is where you potentially really feel it with some of your game management and decision-making if you're on fringe scoring territory offensively.
The cornerback position, do you pick somebody up? I know they got some guys banged up there. I'm not sure where Sheffield is or Ethan is right now as well. So do you pick another guy up, or do you think they're pretty sold on the group they have right now?
I think you should always at that position be just keeping an eye on what is out there. I wouldn't make a move just for the sake of making a move. But if there's somebody, and it seems like there's really a lot of thirst and desire for these inside outside flex guys, right? That's what Cater had the appeal of being. It seems like that's what Jason Marshall, with all of his experience playing outside and now getting the work inside, and they really seem to have taken to it. I think those are the kinds of players, maybe not like a true outside corner, but they kind of showed a couple of exotic coverage rotations against Jacksonville. That's kind of a peek into, I think, why they want the position flex and guys that are comfortable doing both. So not a true nickel, not a true outside guy, but if you have a guy who is capable of doing both, or maybe is experienced doing both, or maybe they liked coming out of the draft that hasn't hit with another team to do both, I think those would be the kinds of names that I would expect them to at least be incentivized to try to make an ad.
Well, I got to tell you, even with Grant out the other day and also missing your middle linebacker, Jordan Brooks, with the backups they had, I thought we got a good look at what it might look like in the first quarter there with Marshall, Storm Duck, and we saw a lot of Jones in there too. And it looks like they're going to go. That's kind of been the way they've been trending for more than a week now with those three guys. I guess the question is, Kendall Sheffield, where does he fit into everything?
I would be surprised if we got to a point where Kendall, and I know he got the run early in camp, I would be surprised if there's that kind of role waiting for him. Now, maybe he's the player that they chose over Mike Hilton to keep on the 53 because he can play some inside and outside and do some of those coverage rotations.
Yeah.
That maybe, you know, Mike is a later stage player. They just didn't feel comfortable with the ability to really hoof it and play out in space. So I think maybe there's a special teams bottom of the room spot for Kendall, but I think the trio that you just mentioned is what they're rolling with Storm Duck, Jason Marshall, and Jack Jones. And I think that's the group that the health willing is going to be out there in nickel every chance they get. I think those are their guys now.
Well, I'm sure you've added up your inside linebackers and outside linebackers / pass rushers. And you realize there's too many guys that have had good camps. Yep. You can't keep them all. So who goes? I think we know the first four with all the experience and success they've already had in this league. But where do you go after that on the outside?
Yeah, it's tough because I rope in the interior defensive line too. And, you know, I mean, you're talking about probably 20 guys that have a legit argument in some way, shape, or form to be on the 53 with the entire front seven. And it's, do you keep five edges and six interior guys? Do you keep six edges and five interior guys?
Yeah.
Do you keep five off-ball linebackers, or do you keep four? It's really tough. So I think for me, I would go with four stack backers, and it would be Brooks, Dodson, Britt, and Gay as the four stack off-ball linebackers. I think that's one of the deeper stack linebacker rooms in football. The guys on the edge, I would keep five personally based off the preseason, and it would be the top four. And then Cam Good for the special teams profile would be the one that I would keep. And then I would see which of those other guys between McClendon and Grayson Murphy and Muhammad Kamara and maybe Quentin Bell, who can I get back on the practice squad out of that group? Like I'd try to get him back, but the numbers crunch there is brutal, Joe.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see which guys of this group, as you said, on the defensive line. So all three defensive tackles make it that you just drafted?
I think so. I think there's enough there should be enough enthusiasm for Zeke Biggers. And look, if we're being honest, a big piece of this offseason puzzle was kind of recalibrating your books, rebalancing what your long-term scope and outlook looks like. And it's got a four-year cost-controlled contract as a seventh-round rookie. Like, those are the kinds of players, if they're on the bubble, you can certainly take into account what does a vet minimum player look like for the next 4 years versus what this seventh round rookie contract costs?
Yeah.
And if we think we can develop him at all, which they should feel a lot of confidence with based of how Austin Clark has developed anybody that's walked into that building, I would most certainly be leaning into Zeke Biggers and be putting him on my 53.
One name that I haven't mentioned that I'm going back now, Cam Smith. I think he's on the team again. I think he's back as a backup cornerback. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the hamstring for Ethan Bonner kind of earned him any question of being on the bubble. I think that's opened it back up for him as far as Ethan and how long he's gone. And it doesn't seem like that's going to be a quick turnaround. And, you know, it gave Cam those opportunities the last two preseason games to go out there and play. And Mike McDaniel, you acknowledge it was late in the preseason games, but Mike said it was some of the best work he's had, and I'd be inclined to agree. So is there some positive momentum that they can roll here?
Nine lives, man. Yeah, no, yep. I got – hey, I know Omar's always, well, second-round pick that, you know, want to keep that guy around as long as you can. But, man, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Any change of quarterback or you like to – have you seen enough out of your second guy to go, okay, I feel good and we'll go from there? What are your thoughts on where we are with Zach Wilson?
So I don't really have a horse in the race as far as who's the two. I think you can interpret the preseason film in a number of different ways and who's playing with who and what the level of competition looks like and decision-making and timing versus making the right decisions and like that, it gets very muddy. What I appreciate about the room and how it is right now is the two guys that are behind Tua Tagovailoa are guys that have been with you for the entire offseason program.
Right.
And you compare and contrast that to last year when Skylar Thompson went down in week three and it's Tim Boyle and it's Tyler Huntley,
yeah,
who they signed in September. And he's playing 2 weeks after he signed in Miami. And he's the starting quarterback on Monday Night Football against the Titans. The fact that both of these guys have spent the entire offseason program, whoever they want to pick, go ahead, pick one of them. I'm just glad that there are two guys that were here and they stayed, and they're presumably going to keep them both because you got, again, a seventh-round rookie contract, and you got a guy that you gave all the guaranteed money to be here this year. Now, if somebody comes knocking on your door and offers you a draft pick that's too good to be true, we can have that conversation for Zach Wilson, and then you can maybe look to sign Kyle McCord, who got cut by Philly this year as a rookie out of Syracuse. But I don't think that's going to happen, so I'm going to lock and load with the three you got.
I agree. Hey, last one. If there's one rookie, and by the way, the rookie class looks like we have a lot of guys, five guys I got either starting or playing a lot of football on offense and defense, but I do want to ask you about one of those five guys. Ollie Gordon II has earned, in my opinion, not only a chance because of these injuries, obviously, to get some carries in that first game against the Colts. You agree?
I mean, Joe, I think he's shown in the preseason he's an embodiment of all the things and talking points that are narratives and
that's right
storylines about the Dolphins that you don't have enough of. Right, you don't have a physical running presence. You don't have physicality in your offense. You can't run between the tackles. This is what this guy does.
Yeah,
and he's looked outstanding. And I you were up on your soapbox on some clip I saw on social media talking about that rep he took in pass pro where he took that hit off of Tua stepping up, taking that linebacker running through. And I think you're on the money. And I think that running back element in pass protection, do I expect it to be perfect for Ollie right away? No, it's preseason reps. You're going to get when you're playing for keeps and it's going to be a little different. You might make some mistakes, but they don't really have a back that's proven in pass protection. And that guy was Raheem Mostert last year.
Yeah. And so, by the way, his runs are just physical. I mean, the sound you hear when he hits a guy after a carry at the end of it, just unloads his shoulder pads. It's just,
yep.
Yeah, so hey, Kyle, thanks, man. I kept you a little longer to get through this whole thing. I really appreciate it. A lot of good stuff this morning, man. I can't wait to see what's going to happen today. It's going to be a fun day to see what's going on.
Yep, be sure to buckle in. We'll get this 53 at 4 p.m. and then see if we get any waiver claims tomorrow.
Yeah, sounds good. Hey, Kyle, thanks.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, Kyle Krabs, Locked On Dolphins and NFL analyst for A to Z Sports. We're going to go to break here, run a little bit too long. We got a lot more stuff. Brian, Monroe County, Hurricanes countdown to kickoff. Host, co-host, along with Woody, going to join us. We're going to talk to Monroe County here at 9 o'clock about big game Sunday night. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.